I think you have more authority than what you realize. Let the weak say,
I am strong.
Yes.
There's power when you declare something.
Yes.
When you declare a breakthrough,
yes,
according to His word, then He's bound to uphold His word.
Yes.
So I just believe that many of you got a breakthrough today.
Yes.
Praise God. Alright, we worship together. Now let's go to the Word together. Fair enough? It's 4:31. I'm going to try to be done by 5 o'clock. That's that little track. Amen. Let's go to the Word of the Lord today and share some things with you. I think will be beneficial. And here's the thing, all right? We have Tuesday night chats. And I assume you're either watching it Tuesday night or later in the week. I can see down there on that little list who all's on there, where they're from. Keisha's always sending her response. And but there's people literally, I mean, the other night they were from Germany, Australia, people from all over the world. But it started out as our family chat.
Yes. Amen.
And so don't let somebody else come to the table push you away from the table. So I encourage you to do that. And here's the reason why I say that is our responsibility and the minister of this church's responsibility is to mature you. And you cannot stay in a perpetual state of infancy. And that happens when you got children teaching children. And so the Bible's very clear. In fact, I wrote some of this down this past week. It says, you aged women. I'll let you figure that out. Teach the younger.
That's right.
You aged men.
Yeah.
Teach the young men.
Yeah.
And so there has to come a point to where you're taught and you learn and you mature and you grow. That's what this is really all about. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not about just coming here on Sunday, getting an inspiration, and then leaving.
Yeah.
But it's about you being trained and you being taught. And really what we're after is for you to be able to have reason for the hope that lies within you.
Amen.
And to be able to, as you mature and grow in your knowledge of Him.
Yes.
The Bible, especially the epistles part, loaded with that statement, in your knowledge of Him. You can never exhaust that, your knowledge of Him. You can never reach a certain place and say, I see it all. I mean, I've been at this a long time. I've been preaching for over 4 years. But I'm still finding stuff in that book that just amazes me. And so, of course, a lot of times when I do that, I want to share it with you. And the hard part is just trying to bring that down to where, as I understand it, to break it down to where it's relatable or is it knowable, a correct word. And so that's what it's really all about. And so I'm going to share something with you today that what we're going to do is we'll go to worship together, and then when we're done worshiping, unless the Holy Ghost just blows this place apart, then we'll go to work the Word together.
Amen.
And it's not just about inspiring you. There's a lot of preaching that inspires you, but it really doesn't change it, or it doesn't. You don't learn anything. And so we can't waste that. We've only got this one shot on Sunday, really, together. And so we need to take advantage of it. And I don't know, maybe, I don't have any idea what to do to fix it. Years ago, we had Bible class before we had Sunday school. And so for an hour, we'd sit there and they'd have a Bible class and they'd teach. And then we'd go into our morning worship services, and it was more evangelistic, inspirational. So, well, we don't have that luxury. But we're trying to fix stuff, trying to do the best that we can. So, and you might want to be praying. Somebody found a little building we drove by yesterday, and the sanctuary is pretty small. It's got some apartments to it. So we're here on a mission, just south San Francisco, just right where we go to Navy City. And so we're working it. I think to try to set up an appointment this week to go look at it. And they're only asking $975,000 for it. And that's something that would be doable for us.
Yeah.
We could do so. And then it would also maybe provide some living space. So just, if it's the will of God, and I do know last Sunday, I didn't tell you this, I made a statement last night to some of them that were in my hospital room at home. I decided to take a little tumble last night. And it's my fault. I forgot to lock the wheelchair, and I was getting up, and I had some socks on. And so I just tried to get myself in bed. And so when I tried to come up, my feet went to do this, and the wheelchair went this way, and I went that way. And then Bethany and Sister Morgan and Zoe were trying to get me up out of the floor. And I said, "You guys, you need a miracle right now." And so I was trying to get turned over, maybe try to get on my knees where I could kind of release anyway. And so Brother Jeremy and Brother Mike got there, able to lift me up, set me on a footstool. And then from there I was able to get up and get in bed. And, you know, I really wasn't hurt. I was more embarrassed than anything. But I told him last night, I said, you know, I felt last Sunday, I just felt like the Lord pressing me. But I'm getting ready to give you a building. He could send one person here and write us a $4 million check.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Don't doubt it.
Nope.
Brother Joel Holmes, who pastors in North Little Rock, it's not an organizational church, which that doesn't mean they're not saved. But it's getting ready to build the building they're in. That one man walked down the road, $27 million check.
Wow.
And now, Brother Holmes will tell you that years ago when he took the church and started teaching his people to become entrepreneurs and businesses, how to invest and all that stuff and all. So now he's got a church full of people that are successful business people that are great givers, and now they're getting ready to build another building. And if you ever get a chance, go online and look at First Pentecostal Church in North Little Rock. And so what they've done is they've got the state to approve them building ramp over Interstate 40, which interstate, so it's federal. And so they've got that all approved. They're going to build across the interstate on the other side, a bigger building. It's, I don't know how many millions that is, so. Amen. So, who knows? Some of you may get a miracle this week. My father owns the cattle of 1,000 acres.
Thank you, Jesus.
I once was young. I can really say that now. But now I'm old. I'll be 62 the end of this month. But I want to join in with the psalmist. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I didn't say you don't go through things. You may go through a trying time.
Yes, sir.
But I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
and his seed begging bread.
Yes. Amen.
So, you know, just believe in God. God's going to take care of you. I know a lot of you have taken hits last year. I can join in with you. And, you know, I know you don't know this, but me preaching out is one of the ways that I subsidize our income. And so all of a sudden, that's gone. That's about $8,000 to $10,000 a month. And now you're like, you know what? People just send a check or they'll call us out. They're like sending you a love offering or whatever. And God takes care of it. So thank you for that. And I want to share that with some of you because God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. And God takes care of his regular customers. Amen. Somebody said amen. All right. Now I've messed up. Now it's 4:42. Oh boy.
You can do this.
All right. Take me that long reading the text. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. And we'll read down to verse 12. If you want to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Somebody stand for me. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So you love, and when you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in the one that is begotten, and then you believe in the one that is begat, and which is to me a very powerful statement. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Everybody say the Spirit of truth. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now let me teach you something here. You see anywhere in there that it says there are three that bear record of heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?
No,
no
sir.
It's not there. As far as I know, there's no record of the sonship in heaven.
Right. Yes, sir.
There's the Word. I'll let you figure that out. And there are three that bear witness in earth. What's this? The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three, what does it say? Agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of the Son. And I've taught you through the years that the testimony of sonship is in the waters of baptism, and it's on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is where the Spirit bore witness of his sonship. Alright? He that believeth, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. What I believe that means is, this is just me, I believe that means you spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because there's always something audible when he bears witness of sonship.
Yeah.
And so we have the witness in himself: he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your eternal word. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit today and what you have done and what you're going to continue to do. We give you glory and honor today in the name of Jesus. confirm your word today, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. I want you to put 1 John 5 and verse number 6 back up there. And because we're going to start there. Now, this letter, 1 John, is the first letter that John the Beloved wrote. He did write his gospel. Matter of fact, his gospel is the last thing that he wrote. So, 1 John, what is it? 2 John and 3 John are letters that he wrote after he came from the Isle of Patmos back to what historians believe would be Ephesus. Amazing to me that this is where John decided to relocate, because while he was on the Isle of Patmos, he said unto the angels of the church of Ephesus, which would be the bishop or the pastor, which I believe at that time was still Timothy. He said, I write, and he said, if you don't return back to your first love, then your candlestick's going to be removed. Yes. Meaning that until you get back to loving God and loving each other, you're in trouble.
Yes.
And that's the church that he wrote to, is Ephesus. And it's amazing to me that John moves to Ephesus to write his epistles and his gospel. And one of the main things that John writes to us about is love.
Yeah.
Are you learning anything? And you can see why he felt such a necessity for that, because the church at Ephesus had moved away from the commandments of God. First commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, that you love your brother, you love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commandments that we have in the New Testament. There's eight more in there, but they weren't given to us in the New Testament. Now, I've also taught you that if you get the first two, you don't need the other eight. If you love God, you won't have idols. If you love your spouse, you won't commit adultery. I'm making sense. So all those other things are hinging upon you keeping the first and only two commandments that are given to us in the New Testament. So John writes a lot about love. He says, how in the world can you say you love God when you've not seen, and you can't love somebody that you have seen? Love is not something that's easy going and passive and all this stuff. Sometimes love is kind of tough.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There'll be people coming into your life that God's going to make sure. It teaches you what true love really is.
Yes.
You can't say I agape unless it's been tested. Well, I can get bogged down there for 20 minutes right there. You've got to learn that this is the way that God teaches you. I think that love has a lot to do with forgiveness. I really do. I think that it has a lot to do with forgiveness. It has a lot to do with, I want to use this term, covering. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't say that it condones it. It covers it. It doesn't reveal it. It doesn't boast about it. It doesn't go out here and broadcast. Because all have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. So this is where the love of God's made manifest in our hearts. Now, that's one of the things that John talked about. The other thing that John talked about was who Jesus Christ really was. Because there was some really twisted stuff that was coming into the church. Matter of fact, if you read on down through there, his third letter, he says, I rejoice. He said, the elder, and I rejoice that my children are walking in truth. Now, I listened to a message a few months ago that proved that those that he was rejoicing about was the half-brothers and sisters of Jesus. That they did not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah until after his resurrection. But once he was resurrected, James rose as a half-brother of Jesus. But once he was resurrected, now they chose to believe that he was truly the Son of God and that he was the Messiah. And I think that this is probably what John was talking about. Are you learning anything?
Yes.
When he said, it's just great for me to see these children walking in truth. Go back and study out the history of John and his brother and the relationship between them and Jesus and his family and Mary, Martha, and all that stuff, because it's all mixed together.
Yes.
Now, he's going to deal very strongly, because part of what people believe was, and this was creeping into the church, and I've mentioned this, seems like a million times in the last few years, that the Gnostics and some of the doctrines of the Gnosticism had come into the church. One of its doctrines is that there's nothing really real. Everything is considered to be logos, meaning it's just a thought. That some God somewhere thinks this, and that's all it is it's just some God in the figment of his imagination. In other words, I've told you this before, it'd be like you're not really sitting in this building. A God somewhere is just thinking all this. That's all you are, just logos. Well, now you'll begin to understand why John wrote in his gospel. He starts out by saying, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. So he is agreeing with them that yes, you have a deity, which is the thinker. And yes, he had a thought, which was Christ. That's the reason why that Jesus Christ is considered to be from the very beginning of all things. Now, John chose to begin with the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, all the other, like Matthew and all of them, they trace genealogies back to Abraham or David or Adam or whoever. But John says, no, we're going to go back to the very beginning.
Amen.
And in the beginning was the Logos.
Yeah.
And the Logos did have a thought. And that thought was the man Christ Jesus, who as also the Logos and the thought of God was crucified from the foundation of the world. That's why it says he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because in the foreknowledge of God, he already seen Christ. He knew he was coming. And he would be more than just his thought, or his imagination, or his ability to image in his mind. That's why that in verse 14 of his gospel, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what I want to do is take you back to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is. Now, I want you to hold that, because I seen something earlier that just kind of really got my attention. Now, if somebody will go to Galatians. Chapter 4 and verse number 4. If you'll find it, stand up and read it.
Alright. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law.
Alright, now watch this. When the fullness of the time came. Mm-hmm. In other words, God had this thought, and that thought has a, what's the term I'm looking for? A time on it.
Right.
This is going to be more than just prophecy.
Right.
This is going to be more than just Isaiah, the prophet of redemption, telling you a child will be born, a son will be given.
Yeah.
This is when it's time for it to be fulfilled. But watch what he says, that God sent forth his Son made of a woman. Everybody say God and a woman.
God and a woman.
Now, if you go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6, this is he that came by water and blood. Everybody say water and blood.
Water and blood.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. When a child is begotten or conceived, where does the blood come from?
From the Father.
From the Father.
The Father.
What does the woman contribute to the birth?
Water.
Water. So what he's saying is, this is he that came by water and blood. Water is what Mary produced to carry him. Blood came from the Father, the one that begot, that begat him. Now, don't let anybody fool you about this, because what John's proving right here is his humanity. He had blood. It come from his dad, his father. The water that produced him came from his mother. So this is water and blood. Now what's this? This is he that came of water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not the water only. So Mary couldn't do it by herself, but by water and blood. So there had to be blood involved. And when you use the term water and blood, you're dealing with humanity. These are the components that produce the Son of God. Water and blood. Ooh. Y'all are looking at me kind of funny. Let's finish it up here. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So now John is introducing to you that there is humanity, and now he's also introducing to you that there's Spirit. It's a capital S, which is in reference to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Okay, now if you go on from there, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are
one.
Didn't say these three are three. These three are one.
That's right.
And there are three that bear witness in earth. What does it say?
Spirit.
Somebody talk back here.
Spirit.
Is that a capital S?
Yes.
So we're still in reference to chapter, verse 6. There are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three?
Three.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more simple you can make it.
Right.
You have the man Christ Jesus that came by water and blood.
Yep.
You have deity that came from God. That's why Jesus Christ was not afraid to constantly say, I am.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Because what he's saying to them, and this is what got him crucified, wasn't the miracles that he was doing. They wanted the miracles. It was the fact that he kept saying, I am. Every time you read in the New Testament, you said, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, God, I'm life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're looking at God right now.
Yeah.
Well, their problem was, how can we be looking at God? You look like a man.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I got water and blood, but I also got Spirit.
Right.
Yes. These three agreed in one.
Right.
Yes.
In other words, they were oneness. They were united. They didn't. The Spirit didn't go one way, and flesh and blood go another way.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus Christ constantly would say, I can only do what my Father told me to do.
Yeah.
I can only say what he told me to say. I can only speak what he told me to speak. Because my flesh is in agreement with the Spirit. When the Lord dropped this into my spirit this morning, he said, my people have to learn the same thing. They've got to quit living with the Spirit doing this over here and their flesh doing this over here. There has to be an agreement where your flesh and his Spirit is in agreement, and they're not having controversy. If you only give you some verses on that one, go read Romans chapter 8.
Yeah.
The flesh is enmity against God. So that water and blood side of you, it doesn't want to agree with the Spirit side of you. It wants to be, oh boy, y'all are all looking at me like you're already glorified. There ain't nobody in here including the guy that's got the mic glorified yet. Your biggest battle is your humanity, not the devil. Quit blaming the devil for your mess. I hate to tell you, Flip Wilson, but the devil didn't make you do anything. You did it because of your flesh, your Adamic nature. But that flesh of yours, especially if you go on down through there, I've moved away from it. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God, verse 9, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God which he hath testified of the Son. Now I want to tell you again, there's two witnesses of the Spirit and sonship. The waters of baptism, where the Holy Ghost comes descending like unto a dove, and the voice of the Father spake, saying, this is my Son in whom I am pleased. So you have the work of the Holy Ghost, and you also have a spiritual utterance. That's the only way you can slice it. And so the first thing that God does in your life when he bears witness of you in sonship is the Holy Ghost comes and does his job, and then you speak in tongues. Tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Tongues is the witness of the Spirit.
Right.
Yes.
Tongues is saved. I live here now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Well, I lost a bunch of them right there.
Good.
Some of you still aren't convinced that you have to speak in tongues. But I'm going to tell you, you don't want to stand before God having not ever spoken in tongues. Well, I'm born again. Well, let me help you with this one, friend. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That means you can't see the Spirit, but you can listen for the sound of it. And the word sound in John 3 and 8 is phonics. Listen for the speech of it. Listen for the language of it. I can't tell you that the Holy Ghost filled. Oh, I see the Holy Ghost filling Jenny. I mean, she needs it again probably, but I can't sit here and say, oh yeah, I seen the Holy Ghost when it entered into her. But I can wait for the witness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And when she went to talking in tongues as a New Testament believer, that the tongues was not the Holy Ghost. Tongues was the witness of the Spirit telling everybody around.
Yes.
I live here now.
Yes.
She believes that Jesus is the Son of God because she has faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Spirit is going to bear witness of her just like it did of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And if Jesus needed, as the Son of God, if Jesus needed the witness of the Spirit, I see some of you about to go to sleep. If you see Jesus as the Son of God, and you believe that he's the Son of God, and you believe that everything the Bible says about him, as John's writing, then you have to believe that I need the same witness of the Spirit. It said it right there. Are y'all good? Okay, I'm 4 minutes old. But I'm not done.
Let's go to
the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, and we'll start at verse 21. All right. Listen, mark John 17 down. Go home this week and study it. But before you just pick the Bible up and try to get your intellect engaged, ask God to allow the Spirit of revelation to come to you.
Yes.
For him, because I'm going to tell you right now, John chapter 17 is loaded.
Amen.
It's loaded. Matter of fact, there are a couple things in there. I wrote this down and I mentioned it, I think, last Tuesday night on Family Chat, so I'm sure all of you already heard this.
Yes.
And that is the consistent mentioning of the name, words, or glory, glorified or glorification.
Yeah.
It's all through there. Now, John 17 is coming to the conclusion of a long conversation. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of a long conversation that Jesus had with his disciples that started toward the close of John 13.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He starts saying, I'm going to go away. And where are you going? Well, you can't come right now. Then John 14 is another one that's just loaded. I could get in John 14 and John 17 and just camp there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to do it today, but anyhow. But the thing is, I want you to watch this. You ready for it? Now, John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. Now, how do you get the Trinity with that verse?
Yep.
That they're separate. Because Jesus specifically said right now that the Father's in him.
That's right.
And that he's in the Father.
Right.
Hmm. What's that mean? Well, now you're back to it. You're ready for it. Water, blood, and spirit, they agree.
Yes.
This is exactly what John's writing about again. I think I'm losing you. I want to make sure that you're catching this because this is important. Because the scripture does say, except you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sin. You need to know who Jesus is.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Because you'll never know who you are until you know who he is.
Right.
He's really your elder brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I am thee, that they also may be what?
One.
In us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, there they may behold my glory. Now, if you remember John 14, he tells them that where I am, there you be also.
Right. Yep.
I go away to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
Oh, that's another study. That behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them, whose name?
Thy name.
And Jesus said, I come in my
Father's name.
So what's the name of the Father?
Jesus.
That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he said, I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, John 17 is about oneness.
Yes.
Jesus being one with God, one with the one that began him. Mm-hmm. And he's also now making the declaration that you're supposed to be one with him.
Right.
Just like he's one with him.
Right.
So you have to learn, and I'm done, you have to learn to live your life in agreement with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. Absolutely.
You have to learn to live your life in agreement with the Spirit. Because if you don't, I tell you what John said in his epistles, but you wouldn't like it. He said something about you're lying. You're not truthful. Because if he really lives in you and you're in agreement with it, then you'll love like he loves. And the indicator that you're not in agreement with him is when you're not loving like you all love.
Yep.
All
right,
John.
Yes, sir.
Hello, apostolics.
Yes.
Oh, I talked in tongues and I got the Holy Ghost, but I don't like it. Well, can I tell you, there's a lot of folks I don't like.
Yeah.
I was never required to like it. Oh boy, it got quiet right there. I've met a lot of people I don't like, and I still don't like them. Like and love has nothing to do with each other. I may not like you, but I'm going to love you. I may not like the life you live, but I'm still going to love you. I may not like your actions and your deeds, but I'm still going to love you.
Yeah.
Love covers a multitude of things you don't like.
Right.
Oh, it's quiet in here right now. It's what spiritual maturity is all about. And, you know, if you're growing in him, then you're maturing in him. then you come to these things.
Yes, sir.
I've told you a while ago, I've been preaching for 40-something years. And years ago, Sister Chenault spoke to me. I mean, this is, Sister Morgan, what year would that have been that Sister Chenault called me? Probably 89. We went to Oklahoma in 88. It was Fox Hollow, so probably about 1989. Maybe 90, maybe. So let's just say 90. How many years ago was that?
34.
34 years? So 34 years ago, somebody called me and told me the gifts operate from, through, and by love. It's going to take you a while to learn this, but you're going to learn about the love of God. Mm-hmm. You're going to finally get there. So I've been on a 34-year journey. I wish I could tell you that I got it a lot sooner. But the more I get into this, the more I get into the Word, the more I realize that the love of God is the true epitome of spiritual maturity.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
I need to wrap it up. You really want to know where you're at in the maturing?
Yeah.
Read 1 Corinthians 13.
Yes. Yes, sir.
If you're still arrogant, you're immature. If you still promote yourself, you're immature. If you still think evil about everything and everybody, you're immature. When you flaunt yourself, you promote yourself, that's spiritual immaturity.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Y'all going to help me here just a little bit? That's spiritual immaturity. And all those other things that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 13. But he concluded with this. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. So in other words, I've matured past all that. It took me a while, but I finally got there. And I'm going to tell you, and you're not going to like it, if you constantly have to have the gift of spirit operating in your life to keep you moving and motivated, you're in the tour.
Yes.
You ought to be able to sit in a Sunday afternoon Bible study and hear the Word of God and say, you know what, I got to mature and I got to grow. This is, I promoted our worship a while ago. I promoted the move of the Spirit, so don't misunderstand. But the moving of His Spirit is not what really matures you. The Word and knowledge is beginning to say, you know what, I need to start doing
that. Yes.
My flesh needs to be in agreement with the Spirit.
Yes.
And you cannot separate the Spirit and the Word.
That's right.
Yes.
So in other words, when I'm in agreement with the Word, I'm really in agreement with the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was saying. That's what John was trying to say. So the key to all this is living in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Being in agreement. Your blood and your water. You got your blood from your daddy, and you got water from your mom. That makes you human.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, God planted sperm and blood in her. Yes, He did.
Amen.
Yes.
And she was impregnated by the Spirit.
Yes.
Blood.
Right.
But
yes.
Mary had to contribute what she had to contribute so that Jesus Christ would be sent of God, made of a woman.
Right.
But when He walked this life, they were one. He was in oneness. And He said, I want my people to be in oneness, like you and I are in oneness. So this is where the church has to get. This is where you have to get. It's in oneness.
Yeah.
Amen.
But the Spirit prompts you to do something.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't fuss.
Yes. It's good, Pastor.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to say that. Better be careful. You got to learn how to live in agreement.
Yeah.
When the Spirit prompts you, I've already said that's what Jesus was saying.
Yes.
I just say what He tells me to say.
Amen.
Yes.
This whole flesh of mine is in agreement with what He's saying. That might be good about witnessing.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. There's been many times that I felt the Spirit bid me a witness, but my flesh warned.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, you know. just to say it like that, and you know, people don't appreciate you doing this. And what you can do is you can reason away.
Yeah.
Or let me go a step further. You're in a church service like today, and the Holy Ghost says, don't pray for them.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like it. Love trumps like.
Yes.
And that ought to be a good bumper sticker. Especially in 2024. Love trumps like. That's right over your heads, right? We have to figure out how we can get that worked in with Donald Trump. Love trumps like. I may have come up on a $1 million idea right there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you know what? You got to learn to be in agreement with it. Go pray for
them.
Or how about this one? Go help them financially.
Amen.
Come on. That's it.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes,
sir. Well, they got themselves in trouble. And.
Yes.
Oh, God wasn't aware of that. So you just helped him out. They got themselves in trouble. Every one of you's got yourself in trouble.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
That still shouldn't stop you. Well, I don't like what they did. Okay, you don't like what they did. But love will cover that. Love says, I want to be in agreement with the Spirit because it's the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I've missed so many things sometimes in my life because I let the fear that was in my flesh stop me from doing what God wanted me to do.
Yes.
And I talked myself out of it.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now I have to look back and say, Lord, I hope you forgive me for all that.
Yes.
And I believe he has.
Yes.
But I have to learn to get past that.
That's right.
I have to have a breakthrough to where that doesn't become my entire testimony.
Yes.
I'm really trying to help the church.
Yes.
Yes.
You ought to be able to let the Holy Ghost tell you, if you see your brother have need, you shut up your bowels of compassion. Now say you love God like me. Now I'm about seconds away from telling this church that we probably this week need to raise a $10,000 offering to help people. So I'm going to ask you to pray about it. What you can do, what you can give. I won't even tell you who. That's not the point here. But I just think that sometimes the love of God moves you. And this is what he said. If you see your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion,
that's right.
How say you the love of God abide within you?
Mm-hmm.
You're not to love in just word. It's got to be more than just you shaking hands. Oh, I love you, Sister Jenny. That's not what it's about. You're not to love in word only, but in deed.
Right. Absolutely.
And so that's kind of where we're at.
Good.
Well, you know, Brother Warren, I got needs too. Yeah? And it may be that God's using this to help you with your needs.
Right.
Some of you are finally going to get this.
Yeah.
You will never come out of your economy until you give your way to God's.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can't let fear. Boy.
Yes.
I done hit something right now. You can't let fear stop you. I can't tell you the times that I had $20 in my billfold and was planning on going to McDonald's after church. I had an assistant pastor. Everybody still good?
Yeah.
Well, I lied to you. I mean, it's 5:20 right now. I had an assistant pastor in Oklahoma. Good guy. And his wife could be challenging at times. But he was a good guy, and she was too. Very talented, but just Everything was analytical to her, just, you know. And sometimes the spirit in your analytical mind have a little battle. And so we was at the service, and I think we were born may have been there. And he was preaching about the sacrificial giving and giving and all this stuff. And, all. And so, and I almost said their names. So he empties out all their money and the offering. And so on the way home, she says, we got to stop and pick up a few items at Walmart. He says, well, if I remember, what was it? He gave $100-something, $200 maybe. And he gave it. And she says, well, what are we going to do now? We got to get some bread and some milk and some food for the kids. And so I don't know. She says, well, I got just a little bit in my purse enough for us to get some, I think, milk. So she goes into Walmart, the Supercenter Walmart, biggest thing in Oklahoma. And she goes in there, and she's on her way back to the milk, which was in the very, very back. Walmart's smart. They know that you're probably going to go in there and buy milk. But if you walk through everything else, you may pick up some more than what you really intended to pick up. So she's on her way back there, and this strange man starts trying to get her attention. Psst, ma'am. Well, she's getting a little nervous. You know, I'm about to get mugged at Walmart. And so she's really pushing the cart real fast. He's chasing after her. Ma'am, hang on a second, ma'am. And so she gets to the back, grabs the milk, throws it in the cart, takes some bread, and she's headed up toward the front, and he's still chasing her down. Ma'am, please. And so she finally gets up to the front where she feels a little more secure. And she turns and says, what do you want? And he says, I've been trying to give this to you, and reaches in his pocket and pulls out a wad of $20 bills. Hundreds of dollars. And hands that to her and says, you better take it before I change my mind. But here's the thing. If she would have been the one to turn to him, the miracle would have never happened. There's times that God says, I really want to open the windows of heaven upon you. But the way that I'm going to do that is through your giving.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
And so you come in agreement with God now because you're in agreement with his word.
Yes.
And he did say, I'll open the windows of heaven upon you, and I'll pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive or to contain.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I can handle some of those.
Yeah.
You ever been there where your bank account had a lot of room for something to come into?
Yes.
I feel the Holy Ghost will understand about that. God says, okay, then don't rob me. Prove me now and see.
That's right.
And somebody says, well, how do I know it's the Holy Ghost? I don't think the devil's going to walk up to you and say, I want you to give $20 in the offering.
All right.
That's right.
Do you?
That's good.
I want you to give sacrificially. I want you to bless the kingdom. I can tell you the moment that God prompts you to do something, that next voice comes.
Right.
Yes.
It's going to be fear.
Yeah.
Better not do that.
Yeah.
Right. When you're going to do that, you're going to survive.
Right. Yes.
Yep. You know, I've decided that some of you are, you're tight. I've met people that were so tight, they talked to their nose to save wear and tear on their teeth. And it's, you're not bad. You just live in fear.
Right.
What am I going to do about it tomorrow? Now listen, I've been at this a long time, and I was even nicknamed the Minister of Finance for the UPC. I really was. They make jokes about it because I learned a lot. Listen, I pastored in the second poorest county in the state of Oklahoma. Well, you don't talk about broke. I don't mean badly bent. I've met people, I'm broke. No, you're not. You're just badly bent. Broke means you don't have anything. You're down to nothing. It don't mean I got a 401k and I got retirement and all this, but I'm broke. Boy, it is so quiet in here right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, these people were, and also pastored older people, that a lot of them had either lived through the Great Depression or their parents went through the Great Depression, which put a lot of fear in them. What about tomorrow? Now, don't misunderstand me. I think wisdom teaches you. I think the Scripture teaches you to lay up some things. Jesus taught you that. But it shouldn't be that when God prompts or moves on you, especially about giving, that you let fear take no thought for the moment. If your Heavenly Father puts the flowers in the field, the birds in the air, and takes care of all of that, you don't think He's going to take care of you? See, some of you will never break into the miraculous provisions of God. Because you can't be in agreement with Him. There's some of you today that God's going to nudge. And the first thing that's going to happen is, I feel this, and I'm going to pick on somebody here. Sister Penny, you working again? No? So, let me just pick on Sister Penny. So Sister Penny's got $5 over here. She don't have a job. And today the Holy Ghost says, Sister Penny, I don't know if he called her Sister Penny, but he'd say, Penny, my daughter, I'd like you to give me that $5. I can promise you that there'll be an instant, because you still got flesh.
Right.
Ooh. I'm a single woman. I got, and I'm not saying this is true about you, but that's just sometimes the way that God does it.
Yeah.
I got something I want to open up on you, hurt, or do it without. Well, this service is locked up. It's really locked up right now. So just learn to be in agreement and walk with Him. But the eunuch taught me something. He said, in your hand, you've got the ability either to keep it like this or to do this. And the moment you do this, you cause God's, your conduct, you cause God's blessings. There's no room for it to work now. Because the only thing that God can use is an open hand. And some of you, can I go to, is it 5:30 really? Jesus. Lord, forgive me for lying to these people. A lot of you were raised in poverty. And the enemy has convinced you that because your mom and dad, grandma and grandpa didn't have anything, you'll never have anything. And because they were poor, you're going to be poor. Now, I can tell you that I had to learn to move past that in my own life. My grandpa Morgan was a sharecropper, poor. My dad dropped out of high school in the seventh grade because my grandpa Morgan was crippled in a train wreck and was in a wheelchair for a year. He finally got out of the wheelchair. He was kind of crippled. His left foot would turn way out. My dad dropped out of school. My dad had to take care of the farm that year. never went back to school. My dad was one of the hardest working men you'd ever meet in your life. But to make good money, it wasn't there. He didn't have the tools for that. And so we move. Dad gets to owing bills. I know what it's like to have to answer the phone for my dad with bill collectors. Some of you don't even have any idea what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk to them. You talk to them. I know what it's like. Sister Morgan and I got, is this too much information? Well, Sister Morgan and I rented our first apartment as a newlywed couple. I went down to the Springfield Green County Utility Service to get the utilities turned on in my name for our new apartment, and they informed me, you've got an outstanding bill here. My dad decided one time, because he got their utilities cut off, just opened it back up in my name. I didn't even know I owed a bill.
Right.
But I had to pay the bill before they'd even turn on the utilities in my name. I can't tell you the dysfunction in the area of finance that I was raised in. But the Holy Ghost began to deal with me when I was pastoring in Oklahoma. You don't have to live that way.
Right.
You do not have to stay under that kind of thinking. And the first place that God had to change it was right there.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of you are at. You feel like you're trapped where you're at. You've reached the peak. You've reached the zenith. And I'm telling a lot of you, there's too many prophecies on this church. And there's too many prophecies on the fact that God wants to raise some of you up to use to give to the kingdom. Now, I'm thankful for everything that comes from the outside of the kingdom. I don't think that's the will of God. I think it's the will of God for some of you to get an agreement with the Spirit and decide today, you know what? I'm going to do what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. I'm going to respond to what the Spirit's prompted me to do. And I am not going to stay here. I'm coming out of this. And God's got something better for me. God's got something greater for me.
Yes.
And the only way to get something greater is to let good of the good. Let go of the good.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
I've killed the service.
Nope.
I lied to you and then I've got on money. That's two ways to lose a service right there. You listen to me. God wants to bless some of you.
Yes.
And you will open up that blessing when you're obedient to whatever he tells you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody good?
Yes.
Yes. All right. What do y'all want to do now?
Praise God.
You want to praise the Lord? You want to? You want to leave mad?
No.
You want to leave like? He's about half crazy. We wish that you'd get out of that wheelchair and quit talking to us and let somebody else preach to us. Oh, no. I've got you captured right now. I want God to bless this church. I want God to bless you. My Lord, we've been through enough. Feel a verse for you. You ready for it?
Yeah.
And my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's my God.
Amen.
I want you to know that.
Yeah.
I want you to experience that. I hope some of you, somebody chases you down at Target this week. Or Walgreens, wherever it is you go, Costco. Hey, stop. Oh my God, they're coming to rob me. Maybe coming to bless you.
Yes, sir.
Woo. Man, I could start telling you story after story. story after story.
It's all right, Pastor.
I had board members that come to me and said, we're going to starve you out here. We don't like you. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to starve you out. You'll leave. That's when one of the good sisters in the church came up to me. She said, if you make it a year here, I'll give you $1,000. She still owes me that $1,000. And I mean, brother, I was a lot skinnier then than I am now, and it had been a little easier to starve me out then. I mean, now if you won't try to do it, you're in for a long haul. And I mean, brother, some of those people, they just did that right there. They quit me. When I took the Oklahoma Church, the first Sunday I was there, we had 47. And so I think the first week I was there, the tithing that week was $100-something. And all of a sudden, it just, you know, they were going to show me, we're going to get you out of here. But when you know you're somewhere in the will of God,
yes. Then
you just put it in the hands of God.
Yes. Amen.
I said, Lord, and this is where I learned about ravens. An unclean bird took care of the prophet.
Yes.
And her name was, what was it, Bonnie Allison? Bonnie Allison. Have I talked too much?
No.
That Sunday, we were getting ready to leave. We were the last ones there. We were out in the car, and Sister Morgan, you know, and we can't survive. Okay. All right. And I looked up, and here comes Sister Jessie Montes, the church secretary. Now, Avellas does an excellent job, and it's all digital. Sister Montes, she kept books in a spiral notebook. She'd write down their names, what they gave. I paid this bill on this day. That's how she took care of everything. So I looked up, and here she comes. She was in her husband's work truck. And the parking lot was gravel. It was bouncy, and here she comes bouncing. And so what in the world she wants. And she got out real quick, got over to the car. And so I wrote the window down. I said, she said, I forgot to give this to you. Some lady walked in today and said, make sure you get this. It's to you personally. Okay. So, you know, I put it on the sun visor. I write another letter. I've been getting a lot of them. And so, Sister Montes pulled away, and I got the letter down. I opened it up. When I opened it, a check fell out of it. And it was a check for $1,700. And in that letter, she explained to me, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want to do with your God. I don't plan on coming to your church. Don't pray for me. Don't invite me to church. I'm not coming. But my daddy taught me the importance of tithing. So as I make money, I'll be coming by. Bonnie smoked. Have you ever been to somebody's house that smoked so much the walls were yellow? That was Bonnie Allison. So I went over there and knocked on the door. What are you doing here? Well, I come to thank you for what you did. I don't need any things. Well, could I come and talk to you? Nope. You didn't have nothing to say to me. Oh, okay. Slam the door. A few months later, here she comes with another check. Just about the time that I thought, man, I don't know how in the world we're going to get through this. Bonnie Allison. A raven, an unclean bird, would bring a tithing check. She let me know that she was dying of cancer. Probably lung cancer. And so Sister Morgan and I went over to her house, visited her, and I begged her to let me baptize her. She said, "Look, you're really upsetting me." I said, "Bonnie, I mean, go out of this life right." She said, "I'm going out right." I said, "You need to let me baptize you." She said, "The first thing I ever told you was don't try to convert me." I said, "All right." And I mean, I begged her. No. Last time I ever seen her, a few weeks later, Bonnie passed away with cancer. But I learned a lesson right there. God can reach right outside these four walls to find somebody that doesn't really even hardly know much about Christianity or him or being apostolic as a means to give you a blessing. Some of you are about to witness that. There's going to be things and people that just come out of almost nowhere. That's going to walk into your life. And I'm prophesying to you right now. That's going to walk into your life. And God wants to open the windows of heaven. And you just live your life in obedience to whatever God's asking you, telling you to do. And don't you ever think that you're too old for this blessing, or you're too far down the road for this blessing, or this blessing should have come years ago. Because the God that I serve knows exactly when to bring it into your life, and he knows exactly when you need it.